rich people.
All right, Charles, thanks for calling. Littleton, Jim, you're on 850 KOA. Hello, Jim.
Morning. I heard recently Governor Jerry Brown, since he has been in office, has signed over 600 bills. How many have you signed, Governor?
Well, Lord knows. I hope not that many.
I hope not, too.
The legislature and the General Assembly, they're allowed to have 5 bills a session, and there are 100 state senators and representatives. So we can have up to 500 a session come through, and generally most legislators feel that they should have 5 bills. So I'm serious. So we have about 450 or 500 come through the mill each year. I think
really?
A lot of them get killed in committee. I think we had a couple hundred last year. I'm not sure. I should know that. That's an easy one for me.
And a lot of those bills are perfunctory. They're just so that a legislator can say, I sponsored this bill, knowing it's not going to go anywhere.
And a lot of them are budget issues, things you got to do. You know, each year you need a continuing resolution to pay for this or pay for that. So, but it's a good question. I look at the real bills that are, I think, substantive changes to our law system, our system of laws, and then what are the bills that are just, you know, required by the budget?
You can't take a wild guess and just...
I'd say a couple hundred. I think rough justice.
No, I mean, how many you have signed?
Well, I signed
into law.
Trust me, I can tell you that I signed bill after bill after bill.
And
after
the number
bill
of those would be how much since you've been governor?
Oh, I signed at least 200 bills in that first session.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I mean, there is a momentum to again create more legislation, more laws that, you know. It's what it is. You see it not just in California. You see it here. You see it in Mississippi. You see it everywhere. The key, I think, is to make sure what we've said is we want to make sure that any law that's passed doesn't add red tape, doesn't add bureaucracy. If we want to change something, let's make sure that we're anticipating all the unintended consequences before they happen.
So, Jim, when you first started, I was afraid you were saying it's a good thing that Governor Brown has signed so many bills. You're not saying that.
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah. Okay.
I find that mind-boggling, to be honest with you. But Walter Williams came up with a great idea. We should have one constitutional amendment in the Constitution, and that is Congress shall make no law.
You know, I said I tried to convince a couple of the legislators that for every 3 laws that they propose, they should have to find one that they repeal.
Oh, now that's a good idea.
It didn't go over too well.
All right, thanks for your call. Let's go to Littleton. Nick, you're on 850 KOA. Hello, Nick.
Good morning, gentlemen. Governor, I had a question about the winter gas mix. Yeah, I can tell immediately in my truck. My truck generally gets about 15 to 16 miles a gallon in the summer, and I can tell immediately when that winter gas starts, my mileage drops to 11 to 12 miles a gallon. I think my vehicle's fairly typical of a lot of the vehicles that I see out there on the road, the SUVs and so forth, and I was just wondering if this has been... I don't understand how this makes sense for me to lose, 4 miles a gallon. And I was wondering when the last time that was looked at.
Well, he's saying the ethanol blend is not as efficient as in terms of MPG.
So that would be a 20-25% cut. That's significant. I've never heard that. Again, this is something you're the first person to ask. There's probably an endless universe of things out there I'm not up on. Give me a month on this one to go back and look at it and see, A, whether that's typical, and B, how much – I know the issues are, the pollution in the air. Mm-hmm. Let me see how much improvement they see by having that blend in the winter.
Although the political force behind ethanol principally was farmers who wanted corn subsidies.
Right. I understand that, which, again, in the world, as you look at more and more people in Asia and in India who are being lifted out of poverty, they're going to want to eat better food. That food's going to require – more beef. Beef requires more wheat or more corn to feed the beef. So we'll see whether the ethanol long term. I think the farmers of corn are going to see a big increase in prices no matter what. So they won't have the drive to have ethanol. Is my guess.
Okay, Nick. Thanks for your phone call. I mean, Walter Mondale addressed this very issue years ago when he asked Gary Hart, "Where's the beef?" If you remember that. I'm sure he was talking about just the chain that you were mentioning right now.
Yes.
Governor John Hickenlooper with us. When we come back, I have a letter of complaint, not about you personally, from a listener who doesn't like the State Patrol pace cars coming home from skiing on I-70 Sunday nights.
Okay.
Perhaps you can address that.